Scaredy Cats. It's now been over a year since COVID-19 changed the world that we live in. People have been physically isolated and had to find new ways to communicate and stay connected to family and friends. Some people may have even started podcasts. Zoom became a huge deal. And one of the best things about movies, horror in particular, is the way that they can take current events and make them into something remarkable. So in this episode, we're going to talk about a movie that was shot entirely in quarantine. It's a movie about social isolation and lockdown, and damn, it is scary. It hit a lot of best of lists for 2020, and for good reason. So light your candles, visualize your circle, and get ready to talk about Host.
Never done this but over Zoom. Obviously we're not physically together, but there's no reason why Spirit can't communicate over the internet.
Nothing's gonna happen.
Visualize us sitting in a circle. Spirit, we invite you to use us to pass on any communication. Is there anyone there? Please come forth.
What was that? Amy, was that you?
I heard it.
I heard something. I think there's something here.
Do you see that?
Oh, Emma, what's funny?
Yeah, we've connected with something. We gotta keep going. We gotta talk to it.
Joining us today are Nick and Ariana, polar opposites when it comes to the topic of seances. Hey, folks, thanks for joining us today.
Hi.
Are you ready to get spooky?
Yeah, let's do it.
I'm so ready
for this one.
Tell me, first of all, before we get started, let's talk a little bit about seances. Would you ever attend one? And I feel like I already know the answer to this.
Not so no, but hell
no. Polar opposites.
Absolutely. Let's get weird. Like that sounds great.
Absolutely not. No Ouija boards, no spirits. Don't come with me. Don't come near me with any of that bullshit. I won't even let you in my house. Nope.
Okay. Would it make a difference if it was a virtual seance?
Nope.
No, I mean, I would rather do a seance in person, obviously, but yeah, I mean, I would still do it.
I would not. I'm with you, Nick.
This movie proves why.
Like, I think the thing is, like, I'm very comfortable with it because I don't believe in it. So for me, it would just be fun.
Yeah.
Because I don't, like, really believe in it. So I'm like, fuck it. Yeah, let's go. It sounds like a good story to tell at a party down the road, you know?
That's a good point. I'm the opposite way. I do believe it, which is why I won't fuck with it. I don't want to. I believe in it. I respect it. Keep it 6 feet. I don't want it.
Keep it 6 feet. But okay, so I think like you just said you respect it. So if you went to a seance, you'd probably be safe because you would be respectful.
Yeah, I would be, but like
we're not. I wouldn't be. About. No, I'm just kidding. No, I would be respectful.
Other people are disrespectful, stupid ass bitches, and they would fuck it up for me. So I don't wanna.
Yes, as we see in this film. Yeah.
That's true. All right. So IMDb summary, 6 friends hire a medium to hold a seance via Zoom during lockdown, but they get far more than they bargained for as things quickly go wrong. So very short movie. It's, I think, 56 minutes. If you buy it or on iTunes, it actually is 1 hour and 6 minutes because they show the a 10-minute clip of the actual seance that they did in preparation for the movie, which is kind of cool.
You get that when you rent it on Amazon Prime too.
Oh, do you? Nice. It was directed by Rob Savage, written by Rob Savage, Gemma Hurley, and Jed Shepard. And it was released on July 30th, 2020 as a Shudder exclusive. So basically, Rob Savage got the idea from a prank that he decided to play on his friends during a Zoom call. So he investigates strange sounds in his attic and scares his friends when he appears to be attacked by something in the attic. It's actually a clip from Rec that he puts in there to frighten his friends. So he put this online. It went viral, and basically Shudder and a whole bunch of people came to him and said that they wanted him to make something bigger out of it. And so he did. So he didn't warn anybody what was going to take place in the video because he wanted to film their genuine reactions. And that kind of happens in the movie as well, which we'll talk about. There are things that weren't scripted that just happened that they kind of reacted to in real time.
See, I don't think I want friends like that. Don't send me video. Don't make me think something terrible is happening to you when it's not, because my brain goes to worst case scenario really fast. And if you're telling me that a demon is getting your ass, I wouldn't.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, I put that up with like, I don't think it happens as much in New York, but like people who like are friends of yours that want to like sneak up on you in a parking lot because it'll be funny.
Oh,
like,
no.
That's how you get fucking pepper sprayed, and I'm not going to apologize about it. Okay. So,
no.
And I think like New York is like a scary enough place that people know not to do that, but. You know,
I punched my dad right in the nose because he wore a clown mask as I was coming up the stairs. And that was in my own house. I was literally 10 feet away from my bedroom. No, I don't scare me. It's bad. No.
It was filmed entirely during the COVID-19 pandemic. Quarantine restrictions were in place in the UK. So he actually had to direct his actors remotely. I can't even imagine how difficult that would be. He had to tell them how to set up their lights, how to do their stunts, how to set up their cameras, all of that sort of thing.
I can't imagine. It's hard to get things across through an email working from home. Having to do all of that. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's a lot. It's also what makes this movie like extra impressive, you know, a lot of it is just kind of like homegrown, like just do with what you got kind of stuff, which is, I have such a big respect for that.
And you said it was released in July, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see.
That's a quick turnaround.
Yeah, I was going to say, because quarantine really didn't start, for me at least, until like mid-March.
Yeah.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it actually took them 12 weeks from start to finish.
Wow.
So from
fast.
The start to handing it off to Shudder, it took 12 weeks.
Wow.
So yeah, very fast. So parts of the script were actually redacted. I think they had a 10-page outline that they worked from. And they didn't want the cast to know all the things that were going to happen throughout. Certain things were pre-recorded and then played back to get the cast genuine reactions. And there wasn't really a box office because it was never released theatrically. The movie opens with a Zoom home screen and we see Haley getting ready for her Zoom call. Had you used Zoom before lockdown?
No.
I had, but it was only for work.
Yeah. I had never used it before lockdown.
Yeah, me neither. And now it's like I live on it every single day, all day long.
The participant ID in the Zoom home screen is the date that the movie Ghostwatch was released, which is kind of cool. The big influence apparently on the movie. And the date of the seance is shown as July 30th, 2020, which is the day that the movie was released on Shudder.
I loved what they did with the credits at the end and everything.
Oh, too. Yeah. That was clever.
Haley starts to add people to the call. So she adds her friends, Radina, Emma, Caroline, Gemma, and Teddy. As she's doing this, there is a loud bump in the hallway and she goes to investigate just as the hallway door opens and things come crashing out. She's cleaning up and we hear a loud thud. It turns out to be Gemma, who apparently just lives down the street, and she asks her to let her into the Zoom meeting. Why is she throwing rocks? Do people really throw rocks at people's windows?
If my boss was trying to get me on a Zoom call and was throwing rocks at my window, there would be no 2-week notice. I would log out immediately. Goodbye. But even if you were my best friend and I wasn't answering like a FaceTime call, do not come bang on my window like a psychopath. We knew immediately that Gemma was going to be a problem.
Yes, that's true. They do set the tone for her.
Yeah.
She lets Gemma into the call and they discuss their spooky plans for the evening. They're going to have a Zoom seance. Haley says she's done this before. Nothing's really happened, but a couple little things have happened. She doesn't really elaborate on it. The part where Gemma is on her phone and her laptop or tablet, whatever she's using, on Zoom at the same time, and there's the feedback. I feel like that's everyone when lockdown began trying to navigate to Zoom.
It's still people for a certain, let's say a certain group of certain age group of people, yes. The boomers. That I work with. that are like, no, I'm muted. I'm definitely muted. Like, oh my God, we can hear you. Please mute yourself. And they're like in traffic. They're like playing in traffic or something. And you're like, Jesus.
It definitely still happens. But like the way that Gemma just sat there and laughed, you could already tell that like something in the past has happened between these two women, because there's some weird tension. And yes. Then Emma she keeps being annoying and like throwing rocks at the window. And then when she's having all that feedback, she doesn't even try to find the problem. She just sits there and laughs for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, I could not handle that.
That just drove me nuts.
Emma and Radina join the call. So Emma is very nervous and Radina is coughing. Do you remember when COVID started, how paranoid people were about someone coughing?
Oh, yeah, I still am. Still
I am. As well.
I'm not paranoid about other people. I'm paranoid about my own coughing.
Yeah.
It's like if I like inhale my water because I'm a dumbass and like I'm drinking too fast or something and then start coughing, I'm like, everyone's going to think I have COVID and I have to be like, no, I don't have it. It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like now you're saying it's fine too much and everyone's going to think that you're being, you know, it's
I got sick about like, I guess a month and a half ago maybe, and I like my chest hurt. I couldn't walk for more than like a few steps. I thought I had COVID. I like had to call out of work. I couldn't even sit at my desk. I had to lay on my back. Gosh. So of course I thought I had COVID. Everyone's freaking out, all this stuff. All I had was bronchitis.
Well, bronchitis is still fucking rough. So
it is rough, but I couldn't go in public because I was coughing and I couldn't breathe.
And
I was
like people are gonna
everyone's gonna think that I am like a terrible person and getting everyone sick, when in reality, it was just my own chest spazzing out.
But yeah, I will say, like, I think one of the things I'm hoping stay, like one of the cultural changes I'm hoping stays because of COVID is when you're sick, stay home.
Mm-hmm.
Because, and I don't know if it's more of an American thing, but it's very like it's almost celebrated if you're like feeling like shit, but still come
and
to
work.
And you
go to work. Absolutely. Right. Same here. Yeah.
Instead of like, no, stay home.
Yeah.
Don't get your coworkers sick. You'll get better faster. Like all of this, like stay the fuck home. I hope that stays at least when we get.
We were really unsanitary before COVID. Like I didn't realize how many people didn't understand that washing your hands multiple times a day, not just after you go to the bathroom, should be normal for you.
Yeah.
Like you should be constantly cleaning these that are touching everything all the time. But also I would not be mad if masks stayed a thing after this. Keep all your germs away and the 6 feet. Honestly, just I'll stay in quarantine for the rest of my life.
Just
keep a safe distance.
I like a mask because I've got a real resting bitch face problem. And I'm so fucking tired of like the men that I work with being like, are you okay? And like, it's just my face. Like, it's literally just my face. I'm doing fine. Like, oh, or like if you don't wear makeup, being like, are you feeling okay? Like, now they can only see here and up, and it's like much better. And also, like, I can fix these a little bit better than I can fix this when someone says something stupid to me. So, you know,
it really does hide a lot. Like when you're like, oh, I can make a face behind this and nobody knows that I'm sneering at them right now.
Mm-hmm. I love that part because I'm the same way. I can't hide anything on my face. And a lot of it honestly comes through my eyes, but being able to cover this part is great.
Yeah.
It makes it a little more ambiguous because they're like, those eyes look like they're like judging me right now, but maybe they're not.
If you ever
think me, it's always yes.
They're judging you.
Yeah.
If you have to think about it, it's true.
So Caroline joins and she is wearing a facial mask, not a mask, but like a cosmetic facial mask. And we meet her slightly naughty and flirty dad, who's kind of cute.
He was adorable.
Yeah.
I really wonder what happened to him. And I hope he just went for one of his walks.
I think that he did.
Let's choose to believe that. Yeah.
He just went out because he likes being in the sun, even though it was dark outside.
So Carolyn having that mask on is such perfect foreshadowing because there's other things with masks later on and filters and all kinds of stuff that is just perfect. In fact, I thought the whole opening is very pitch perfect because they talk about parenting your parents. Like she has to, she is telling her dad to not go out for walks. You have to be careful. And I remember when this all happened, my parents had gone, my parents live very close to the New York, Ontario border, and they'd gone across the border to go shopping. And they came back just as everybody was like, okay, if you've traveled outside of the country, you have to quarantine for 14 days. My mom was the one that had gone across the border. My dad had not. And so my mom was in quarantine, and then my dad went out, and I was like, Dad, what are you doing? He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you went out. He's like, yeah, I didn't go across the border. I'm like, yeah, but you're in close contact with mom who did. So yeah, you're quarantining as well. And they didn't get it. They're much better now. But like that idea of parenting your parents and getting them, like, because I'm sure most younger generations are more concerned about their parents than they are necessarily about themselves. So
yeah, I mean, the amount of times I was lucky that my mother got on board pretty quickly, but like definitely in the beginning, I think she thought that everybody was blowing that out of proportion. Mm-hmm. So I had to be like, okay, like I had to like meet her on that level of like, okay, maybe it is all bullshit, but wouldn't you rather be safe than sorry?
Exactly.
And then like, and it didn't take her too long to, because my dad is also like high risk and he's like in his 80s. So she kind of like very quickly realized like, no, like we need to be safe.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like the fear, and I'm sure you guys relate, like the fear of like your fucking parents getting sick is just the worst. Ooh, they got their first shot though. 2 weeks That's ago, exciting. Last week they got their first vaccine. So thankfully, because they're both, again, like they're both above 70. So
yeah, it
feels better.
That's awesome.
For me, it was for my grandmother. She just didn't want to stay home. So
yeah.
But she's okay now.
But then there's the suspicion about people being sick. There's people being cooped up, these relationships being formed and then broken down within lockdown. Emma puts on a demon filter and says, hey guys, this is going to be us later. Which struck me as a little odd because she was really scared at the beginning. Well, not really scared, but she's nervous. And then she puts on this demon filter and makes a joke about it.
I think that was just her trying to make herself feel better, like trying to joke
before. Trying to diffuse the tension a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Like when you literally, you're so scared, you have nothing else to do besides laugh at whatever bullshit is staring you in the face.
Yeah.
Carolyn shows off her background video, which is basically her walking around the bedroom doing mundane things, brushing her hair, checking her phone. Both of those things will be used to horrific effect later on. So Teddy's going to be joining them soon. There's a lot of chatter about him and his new rich girlfriend, Ginny. So what do you think the deal is with him and Caroline? Because she's very awkward about him coming. And like, she's like, you didn't tell me. She takes off the mask on her face because he's showing up. Do you think they were dating? Does she have a crush on him? Like, what do you think? What was your take on that?
My first thought was that they had a fling in the past, but now that you say she has a crush on him, that makes a little bit more sense, because he didn't give off the same kind of anxious energy when Caroline was on the phone.
Yeah. Yeah. I definitely agree with that. And also like there is a level of, remember when we first got locked down, like any other contact of like when we were still doing happy hour Zooms with people and like, I would like, even though I had been in my sweatpants all day and like hadn't seen anyone, I would like put my makeup on and like want to be like a little more presentable and like whatever, when I was like seeing people that I knew. And I think that I don't know, I probably would have done the same thing, especially if I was like sitting home single and there was like a cute guy getting on the Zoom, I'd be like, oh fuck, god damn it, like taking that shit off. So
why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
For sure.
I mean, I used to like put on polos whenever I would have work meetings via Zoom, or like throw on a button up and just still be in my boxers or something. Now they're lucky if they get me in a hoodie, like, and not just a raggedy t-shirt.
There was a time that I put bras on to get on Zoom, and no longer.
I live alone. I don't have to wear clothes at all if I don't want to. Don't turn my camera on. There's a little sticky note above it anyway.
Yeah.
What did you think about the creepy clown puppet?
Hated it. Hated every second of it. Again, I would not want these kinds of friends. My genuine friends would never scare me with the clown, because they know I would just kick the shit out of them. And I guess via Zoom, you're at a safe distance, but man, when quarantine's over, I'm swinging on your face, because fuck you and your stupid clown.
Yeah, it's a weird place. Like this this family home of Teddy's girlfriend. It's odd. Like there's some weird things there. It's like these
super antique. And they said it was like really nice, but the interior looked so like crowded with a bunch of stuff. I was just like, if you have a house that nice, why is it? I mean, I guess you have a lot of nice things, but theirs didn't look very nice. It was kind of weird.
Teddy shows them his trigger object, and it is a creepy music box that used to belong to his nan, he says. At this point, Haley reminds them to be respectful and take it seriously. Nobody really listens.
I wrote it down on my little note sheet. Haley, responsible.
She is responsible.
She's the mom of the group.
Yeah, and she's the one that's done it before, right? Like she says she's done this before, so she's kind of gone through it. She knows what to expect. She says that the medium is a friend of hers. But Teddy comes up with a plan to do shots every time the medium says astral plane.
I'm also that bitch. I'm totally that bitch.
But he was so disrespectful about it. He like purposely asked her to say it again just so he could take another shot.
Oh yeah. No, I would be like, the thing is like, I joke and stuff and say like, but like, I'm not gonna be an asshole to someone. Even if I don't like, if I'm not like buying into the whole thing. They do, and it's their thing. So, like, I'm gonna be fucking respectful about it.
Yeah. So now we meet Saylin. Is it Saylin? Yeah.
Saylin.
She's the medium. She's never done a seance over Zoom before, and they obviously have a lot of questions for her. So, can I get in touch with one of my pets? If I have Chinese grandparents and I don't speak Cantonese, will they be able to understand me?
I was gonna bring this up later, but since you just mentioned it, were they getting some of the ideas for the actual movie from that like 10 minute extra spot at the end?
I think they did. Cause they did that before they shot the movie, I think.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they did ask some of those questions, right? Mm-hmm. So I think they did. Yeah. She tells them to watch out for signs from the spirit. So it could be something that just pops into your head, like an image, that sort of thing. It could be pressure. You could feel some kind of pressure. You could feel a touch. No, thank you. I would be out.
Absolutely not.
She warns them that since they're on Zoom, they may not be as protected as they normally would be.
Back out. Goodbye. Leave me alone. Less protected than I would be if we were in person? No. Don't fuck with spirits, y'all. Just don't do it. If you don't know what you're doing, don't mess with spirits because you don't know what you're doing. You're going to end up getting something bad.
Yeah.
But I fully respect those of you who can talk to spirits and stuff on a respectful level. That is amazing for you. But those of you who don't know how, don't ruin it for them. Anyway, okay, continue. Sorry.
She reminds them again, be respectful. And she then asks if anyone's worried. So it's not just Emma, Caroline is as well. So she kind of reviews some steps with them. And she talks about visualizing that they're all in a circle. There's a rope around your waist leading to your front door. And you can cut the rope, which then will end that connection.
So I had a question about that too.
Yeah.
So I'm one of those people, I can't visualize the apple. There's nothing in my head. It's just like blank space with some swirly sometimes. So what happens if I can't visualize like the stuff that she's saying? Would I not even be able to participate in a seance, or would just like thinking about it be enough?
I feel like it would probably be best for you not to participate in the seance.
Well, we all know I would never. She's out like, of curiosity. If anyone does know the answer to that, let us know. Twitter, do something.
Yeah.
Help me out.
Yeah, I'm a good visualizer. So I was like, okay, I got it. I feel like I was doing it with them.
No, I was sitting there like, I rope to a door. I can't.
I was a theater major, so I basically went to school for that shit. So use my imagination. So like, you know.
There you go. So then the seance begins, but then Ginny, who is Teddy's girlfriend, interrupts quite rudely and takes him away.
She blows out the candle too. She's just so rude about it. Like,
oh yeah. She's got her smarmy
like her deep breath her and she was just like, and oh no, the candle went out. Fuck you. Get off my lap.
Saylin then tells him that we could all be possessed. No, I'm sorry. No. It's not a bad thing. It's just the way that the spirits communicate. It just means that they're talking through you.
No. I think talking through me, I would want to use the term vessel, maybe, or like microphone, not possession.
Yeah, it's a bad choice of words.
Yeah.
So they restart, they visualize the circle, they channel their inner theater major, and they ask the spirit to come forward. Salen comments on a weird light floating around Radina, and then there's a loud banging. Yeah, a weird light like the one behind you right now.
Mm-hmm. We've already determined it's a sharing picture frame. Don't be scared, listeners. It's okay.
It's Salen's delivery. She's getting food delivered, I'm assuming. It takes her a while to come back, it seems like. But when she does, Haley says she felt something touch her shoulder, and then Gemma jumps up screaming from her seat.
So
this bitch.
This bitch, first of all. But to back up a little bit, if I was Salen and my food had just gotten delivered and it was late, I would have been in the kitchen scarfing some of that shit down before I put it in the fridge.
Oh, so that's why she was a while, because she was eating her food.
I also wouldn't order food right before I started somebody else's seance.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either. But if it was just a late delivery or the restaurant took forever or something like that, and
she does say it was supposed to come earlier. Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely would have been scarfing that down and then jump back on. And oh man, sorry.
Gemma then starts saying that she's getting the name Jack. She knows somebody, Jack, somebody she went to school with. He killed himself. He hung himself.
First of all, that is not okay to joke about. It is not okay to make up a story like that and pretend any of that is okay.
We already hate her, but that's, that's a level of what's the wrong word? Just callousness that I can't deal with.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's one thing to pull a prank, but then also it'd be ha ha ha, isn't suicide hilarious? No. Mm-hmm.
No, it's not. And it's not fun. It's not fun or funny to make up a friend that you knew committed suicide. It's not funny. Don't joke about that stuff, y'all.
So Salen is very compassionate. She kind of walks her through trying to get some answers from her, but she suddenly disconnects. But before she disconnects, something appears over her shoulder. What do you think that was? Did you see it?
Did I see that? Now I'm wondering.
I don't think I saw that.
Oh.
What was it? Was it a spirit?
You just see something. You see a blur and some kind of lights or something. Okay, so this is where we take a brief pause to rewatch that scene. We do this a couple of times in the movie because one thing that this movie is really good at is including things that are kind of hidden in the background, or they happen so fast that you don't really see it necessarily the first couple of watches, or I didn't anyways. This is the first of many little pauses that we take. We'll be back in just a moment. Okay, so what do you think that was?
It looked like stuff was pushed or fell off of her shelf behind her.
Yeah, that's what it looked like to me. It looked like something that was thrown at her or fell towards her direction or whatever. I don't think it looked like a figure per se, but
yeah.
Okay. And thank you for the instant replay, because I did not get that the first time we watched it.
Yeah, same. I had no idea that happened. Good catch.
I have watched the movie 3 times now, and I think I only saw it on the 3rd time. So
they snuck it in there, because she's only in the little corner. She doesn't pop up really big when it happens. Mm-hmm. So you really, and you're focused on Gemma, because she's a mess being a terrible
person. She is a mess.
She is a mess.
I actually read an interview with Rob Savage and the director, and one of the co-writers, and he said, they asked him, so was it all Gemma's fault? And he's like, oh yeah, 100%. It was all Gemma's fault.
It absolutely was Gemma's fault.
Salen is disconnected. The other girls all tell Haley to call Salen back just before Gemma reveals that she made it all up. And the way she does it, she's crying and then she's like, it makes me so angry.
I hate it. Yeah.
So they take a break. And while she's gone, Gemma's candle goes out suddenly. Bad sign.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they all return and Haley is pissed.
As she should be. She told them to be respectful.
Yeah.
And they weren't. Gemma was just a little bitch.
We'd all be Haley's in this moment. So
yes, for sure.
I might turn into an Emma at some point, because I'd get
poor Emma.
I'd get real sad.
So bickering ensues until Haley's chair flies back and she says she thinks there's something there. So let's continue.
Right? Bye. Like, wouldn't you be like, I'm out. Bye, guys.
Exactly.
Yeah, that would be cut rope, shut door, burn house down after that. And also,
like fuck social distancing. I'm going to go sleep in Gemma's bed. You know?
Yeah. I don't care how much I hate that bitch. That's where I'm going right now.
She's the nearest person to me. I'm going to bunk down with her.
Yes. I could just go throw rocks at her window until she lets me in.
So she says she heard something. So she messes around with the audio settings and you do hear some noises, like nothing very clear, but you hear some like odd sounds. She takes her laptop, her phone, whatever she's using through the apartment before we hear a very loud thump in Caroline's place. So Caroline goes to check it out. She calls to her dad, but then hears another thud in the attic. She takes her phone up with her. She pans through the attic and we see two legs dangling in the air, but she doesn't see it.
First of all, she's smart for not going up there herself. I will give her that. No,
she takes her selfie stick and like,
she takes her selfie stick and sticks her phone up there that way. But also, why would you even open the door? A loud bang in the attic.
Just run out of the house. Yeah.
Just get out.
Just peace out. Mm-hmm.
So this is where I was saying that I really hope her dad just went out for one of his walks, because apparently he likes to go out and get some air. So the others do see the legs dangling though, and they tell her to go back. But when she does, the legs are gone. Meanwhile, Haley is convinced that she sees something in her hallway and she uses her instant camera to take a picture. So there's a definite shape in the picture and it looks like someone hanging.
It looked like a male hanging with just his boxers on to me.
Yeah.
So this is where things start to really, really, really go downhill.
Yeah. And I will say, I love, that's one of those stupid horror tropes that I actually fucking love, is an instant camera.
Mm-hmm.
I love that shit. It's, I know it's used a lot, but it's like, have you guys seen Silent House? I thought it was called Lake House, but George reminded me it's actually not called Lake House. That's the other. It's Keanu Reeves movie. It's incredible. I think it's called Silent House. I need you to put it on your list. It's got Elizabeth Olsen in it. And it's shot as a single shot film.
Oh, wow.
Which is, first of all, like amazing. Like as like someone who like, you know, like loves like filmmaking and stuff, is like really cool. It's like they didn't actually do it, obviously, in like one take, but it's so well done. It's so fluid. And a big part of it is those like polar, like she's got like a big Polaroid, and that's because they're the house is like all boarded up, so there's no like light even during the day. So yes, I love a good Polaroid flash, and then like what's on the Polaroid.
Yeah, because then you still can't see it in front of you can only see it in the picture. It just makes it scary.
Yep,
it's right up there with when you're looking down a dark hallway and footsteps are running at you and there's nothing there.
Or when you're in a hallway and the lights start going out closer to you.
And they kind of,
you know,
it's like the light, the darkness is chasing you.
Yeah.
I think that's, it was in so one of the Conjuring movies that there's like a dark hallway and then like a red ball comes like.
Yeah. Comes down the stairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That got me. I can't.
And that happened.
That happened in the Changeling.
Yes.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Whenever I see those balls, which you don't see very often anymore, I'm always like, oh God. Oh boy. So Emma's wine glass shatters just as Haley manages to get Salen on the phone. She tells them there's nothing to worry about. She's got a very soothing voice. It's probably Gemma's friend Jack. So it's time for Gemma to come clean.
Fuck you, Gemma.
Salen is not impressed. She's like, I told you not to disrespect the spirits. She then tells them that they have created a mask for any entity to wear. It could be another spirit, but it could also be something like a demon.
Fuck you, Gemma. And back to my original point. Don't fuck with spirits if you don't know what you're doing.
Just say no.
Nick wants you to say it. Just say no.
Please.
Let's shut it down. We'll thank the spirits. But then she asks if it's a friend. Maybe don't ask questions that you don't want the answers for.
Oh my God. If you have to ask if it's a friend, it's not a friend.
Nick, your friend just like flickered in the background there for a second. And I was like, oh God.
Oh no.
The lights then go crazy when they ask if it's a friend, and Haley gets disconnected from Salen. So here's my question. Do you think that is actually Salen that they're talking to?
Good question.
I thought it was. I didn't really think about that until you said something.
Yeah, me neither. I totally thought it was. But it stands to reason if this, but also I didn't see that thing fucking fall on her either when I first watched it.
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. a good point. Maybe so, we all, I need to watch it a third time.
I think I need to watch it two more times. Okay, let's circle back. We'll do another podcast about it in a week after I've watched it six more times. Cool.
Perfect.
Great.
So I did read something where they said that basically there was a theory that she was possessed at that point, and that things, although they were scary, they didn't really start to go horribly wrong until Haley spoke to her on the phone and she started telling her, okay, here's what we need to do next, blah, 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 blah.
I did not think about that. I just kind of thought the demon got really pissed off asking if they were a friend.
So Haley tries to calm them all down. She says, we're going to cut the rope to sever the connection to the spirit world. Haley does like a pretty good job. She is very much, like you said, Nick, very much the mom of the group. And everyone is tense. They're freaked out. There is a brief moment of levity when Haley sneezes. And this is actually something that was not planned. So the when the cast reacts to it, you see them kind of laugh because they weren't expecting it.
I don't think a single one of them said bless you either. And I feel like when you're fucking spirits, maybe right? you spray that in there a couple times.
That's a good idea. Everything's okay now, right? Everyone's calming down slowly. Relief is evident on their face.
Maybe it's because the demon was leaving Haley's body.
Oh.
And then she sneezed.
Maybe. I like that.
I hate it.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Radina goes for what she calls a panic wee. Caroline leaves the room for a moment. She leaves her camera on and everyone's just chatting casually. But what happened? They kind of recover fairly quickly.
Me too, Radina. I wouldn't be going anywhere by myself.
Yeah.
She takes her phone or her laptop. I think it's a laptop. Takes it into the bathroom with her. And then she finds Alan, who is, I'm guessing, her boyfriend that maybe they, or ex-boyfriend, they split up during lockdown. Sounds like they moved in together during lockdown and then split up during lockdown. And she asks if anyone saw him leave.
Nobody did. And also, that's not a big apartment that they're in. It doesn't seem to be, anyway.
No, and it was kind of dark in that hallway, too, so you couldn't really see anything.
Caroline comes back into her room, but it's actually just her background video.
I'm getting us in the mood.
I like it. And it is chilling as you watch her background video play and her head slams into the camera.
Yeah, that shit was terrified me. Oh my God. I think I actually jumped. Like, and I still knew it was coming. Oh, I definitely did. I knew that was gonna, like, when they set it up in the beginning, I was like, okay, so we're gonna go back to this thing. They're gonna be like, oh, she's fine. And she's not gonna be fine because it's gonna be her background. And
yeah.
Definitely called that in the beginning.
We knew it was coming. I just did not expect. Yeah. Shocking. That's what it was.
We see a mask filter just floating midair in Emma's screen.
Oh.
This mask is a nod to the slasher film Alice, Sweet Alice.
Not familiar with that.
Oh, I hated this. Oh my God. Can you imagine how terrifying? And then it does the footsteps thing that we were talking about earlier. Yeah. It's everything that I hate.
She gets closer to the mask and she reaches out to it slowly and it slowly turns towards her because it's not looking at her. And then it turns, she grabs some flowers, starts tossing it, but it disappears. She's like, oh, it's gone. And her kitchen cabinets fly open. We see footsteps in the flower on the ground and then they run after her.
Yeah, the flower was fucking brilliant. I'm so glad they used it. Like that's definitely like something that you watch enough horror movies, you go, ooh, flower, you know? And it's like, it's definitely like, I feel like a good, like sort of nod to so many other fucking things. And like,
absolutely.
Yeah. This movie fucking got me, man. In a way that a movie has not gotten me since like Insidious. And they just put everything that terrifies me the most. Like, because it's a short movie, everything scary happens really fast after it one does. Another. And I was just constantly like only taking half breaths, trying to figure out how to breathe again.
I think in that article I sent you guys, he talked about when he struck up the deal with Shudder that he was like, it was like anything from 30 minutes to 2 hours. So he had a lot of time to play because he was worried he wasn't going to have enough time to fill like a really great movie. Like he was worried about filling like a 90-minute movie.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they didn't try. Honestly, it, like Sherry, when you were talking about this and you're telling us about it, you were saying you know, it's because we're like, oh my God, it's so short. And you're like, it's short, but it's effective. And it fucking is. And that's good storytelling. Yeah. That is good storytelling. They're not trying to for whose sake, make a 90 minute film that really should be a 60 minute film. They made a 60 minute film. It's amazing.
They made it awesome too. Like, I mean, this movie, like I said, it terrified me in 60 minutes, and damn, I didn't need any more of it after that.
It's that kind of stuff that I like. I love this. Like, everyone makes shit now, and there's so many ways to like see people's content that they're making, because you can have a 56 minute movie. You know what I mean? Like, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And that's not something that we never would have seen this unless we went to like the film festivals before this age.
Yeah.
Like, I saw this stupid article that I'm like still mad about. I'm pretty sure it was Scorsese. Was it him or was it? I think it was Scorsese. Did an interview and was talking about how, do you know what I'm talking about? He did this interview, and it was like, basically there's no curation now for content. And I was like, I sent it to George, and I was like, all I hear is a blah, blah, blah. For some reason, everyone else getting their stuff seen makes my art less than, which is like not how it works. And also, like, you know, and also people subscribing to something like Shudder that's making good content, that's making, you know, that's getting this kind of stuff out, they're not competing with The Irishman, okay? Like, that's not how that works. Like, it's just the more people that are creating and telling stories, the better content and the more interesting content you see. And, you know, we talked about this in the women's roundtable. Like, it's just a good thing. Like, more people having access to watch content and to create content that gets seen by people, it's just a good thing. Yeah, you're gonna get some shitty stuff because there's more out there anyway. But you're also going to get some really cool inventive stuff like this. That's like, all right, let's make a lockdown fucking movie. And it was, again, effective. Okay, I'm off my soapbox now.
No, you're 100% right. And I think, I think they went with Shudder because Shudder was the only company that was like, we don't care, like make it, a half hour to 2 hours. Make it,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas like everybody else was like, no, it needs to be at least 90 minutes, blah, 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 blah. So yeah, it just works really well. Like there's no backstory. Like you don't get, you know, the demon's history. You don't find out all of that sort of thing.
But you don't need it.
You don't need it.
You don't need it. It was just straight into the point and
it's still fucking scary.
As hell.
Yeah, exactly. So Emma's lights go out and she runs into the hallway before she gets picked up and then dropped down to the ground.
Oof. This is right after the terrifying footsteps.
Yeah, yes,
just my worst nightmare.
Haley and Gemma decide that they're going to get Emma and get her out of the house, and as they call to Radina, Alan's body drops from the ceiling. Did you catch what happened to Alan? Did you see that earlier?
I did see that.
Did I see it? Jesus, have I watched this movie? No.
I just read about it just before we came on, and I had to go back and like watch the scene again, because so when Radina gets up to go to the washroom and she's walking, watch that for a second.
Wait, now I don't know if I know what you're talking about.
Whoa. Okay, so we just watched what happened to Alan. What are your thoughts on that?
I need an adult. I did not see that before. I'm gonna have to watch this whole thing again.
Yeah, same. Holy fucking shit. None of them saw that. We didn't see
Nobody
that.
Did. Sherry saw it. Sherry was the only one that saw it.
Only because I got a tip from an article online.
We shouldn't even say what it is. Y'all just have to go watch the movie and see if you see it.
So at this point, Radina gets dragged down the hallway and blood spatters on her screen. And Caroline's head keeps getting slammed into her screen repeatedly.
Oh.
Haley decides she's going to call Salen, and she and Gemma get into a bit of a whose fault is it squabble.
Gemma, it's your fault. Gemma's fault. It's your fucking fault, you bitch.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Gemma.
Yeah, Gemma, it's pretty clear whose fault it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stupid motherfucker.
Just as Haley's chair gets pulled across the room again, she gets up, goes to reach for it, and is pulled down and dragged from the room herself. Yeah. So Gemma puts on her COVID mask and heads out to get her friends.
So like the same one who was making fun of it and making up a person and being disrespectful to the spirits is now going to go save the day. I think not, my friend.
And then that creepy clown appears on Teddy's screen.
Fuck you, Teddy.
Because Teddy's back.
I really thought Teddy was saved, but then he had to be a dick and bring a clown into it. So
I feel like Teddy was doomed from the minute his girlfriend blew out that candle.
Teddy, yeah. Teddy didn't belong there from the beginning. Let's be honest.
No.
Let's be honest.
He was disrespectful.
This was a lady Zoom. He was a total dick about it. And then went off to go get laid. This is just, it goes to show, kids just don't have any sex ever. Because this is what will happen.
Especially not with men.
Lesbian sex never leads to this kind of death in a horror movie.
Come to think of it, what horror movie has shown lesbians getting murdered? This is not an idea, you fuckers. Leave us alone. I'm just saying.
I feel like the closest I feel like I've seen them get is... And they're not, it's not, it's, they're not lesbians. Jennifer's Body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She's like hypersexual and like definitely like, you know, I don't think they were lesbians, but you know, they were into each other.
Googling it, lesbian horror movie.
It's going to be some sort of erotic freak show. Yeah. Like if Rob Zombie made a porno, that's what's going to pop up on your Google search right now.
There's an erotic werewolf in London, werewolf in London.
Oh no.
Voodoo Island with a rather openly lesbian character, a supporting role, very unusual for its time, 1967. Oh, there are the vampire. There's a vampire book called Carmilla, which is like, it predates Dracula, and it is very much a lesbian vampire story. It has been turned into multiple movies, so there you
Holy
go.
Shit. All right.
Teddy thinks they're playing a prank on him, even as Emma, like Emma is in... tears. She is distraught. She's like, get out of the house. You're going to die. The power then goes out at Teddy's home. So he goes in search of the fuse box. And this is where you see the demon face pop right up into the screen as he's going up the stairs.
Yeah. Yep. Remember what I said when we were doing the podcast for Promising Young Women? Woman. Believe
women. Men are trash? Oh.
That too. Men are trash and believe women. She's literally telling you, you're going to be killed, which came off a little bit menacing at first. I had to watch it a second time to make sure she wasn't behind everything.
Look, but he shouldn't have been dressed that way, clearly.
Oh, he shouldn't have been. That man
shouldn't
bun.
Have brought out that fucking clown. That was his own fault. He deserved it.
Teddy at this point realizes this isn't a joke and he starts to run out of the house only to see the crouching demon now.
Wait, do we actually see the demon right there? Did I not see that either?
Yeah, you see the demon again. He's like crouching and he's got a little, he's like kind of hiding his face. He's like, ah.
Wow, I really do need to watch this. I watched this twice, I swear.
I think three times must be the term.
I was just so focused on Jenny because she was out there by the pool. And then my immediate thought was, can spirits follow you outside like that? Like, can they fuck with you outside of the house?
Apparently. I mean, they're fucking with people all over. So, because he's far away from them, right? He sees Jenny get picked up and held over the pool before being killed. Like, it's like her neck gets snapped.
There's a lot of snapping.
He hides in a woodshed and we hear that music box play before his flashlight bulb explodes. Oh, there's also a noose in the shed.
Yeah, I did see the noose.
When he's like panning around, there's a noose. So a lot of imagery of like neck injuries and hanging, which
Fuck
calls
you,
back
Gemma.
To Gemma and her story. So Teddy uses his lighter to find the music box before being dragged back and knocked unconscious. He then catches on fire. And poor Emma has seen all of this and has to watch it. She's trying to wake him up and he does wake up, but then he screams in agony as he's burning.
Yes.
And then it kind of suddenly stops. I feel like maybe something happened to his neck as well.
See, I thought his Zoom froze. That's what I thought happened to him, but maybe. The way that they shoot Emma hiding under her blanket, it's so good because you only get glimpses of her face and every once in a while you'll just see her eye like peering out from the blanket.
I truly believe she was terrified for a lot of this filming.
That's also definitely like the most Blair Witchy part of this.
Yes.
Are like those shots of her.
And apparently Rob Savage is a huge Blair Witch fan. He actually did an interview with the creators of the Blair Witch. So
that's awesome. I love that. I mean, look, Blair Witch was fucking like actually fucking groundbreaking for like what it did. Mm-hmm. I mean, is it one of my favorite horror movies? Like, no, but I've got so much fucking respect for that movie.
So her door has opened and she grabs a blanket. Don't do it. as soon as she picks up the blanket, I'm like, no.
I originally was like, yes, I too would be hiding under a blanket. And then she stood up and went to the door and I was like, no. That's the opposite of what you should be doing.
So she throws the blanket towards the door and it lands on someone.
That was excellent. That was an excellent scare. God, it was amazing.
Oh, good.
It was not at all what I was expecting to happen right then.
Me neither. It just, yeah.
Oh, God. It got me so good.
They had so many jump scares in this that were not cheap jump scares.
Yeah, they weren't typical jump scares.
They were just like well done and made me jump.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's actually a little nod. So I talked about being in love with Indonesian horror lately, and that's a little nod to a movie called Satan's Slaves, which is a horror film by Joko Anwar. Hopefully I said that right. And there's a scene very similar to that. So I actually just watched this movie like 2 weeks ago. And when I watched Host yesterday, I was like, oh, that's like Satan's Slaves. And then sure enough, I like did some research and it was a very intentional nod to that. So highly recommend if you have not seen Satan's Slaves, watch it. Very, very good. So creepy. Emma rushes out of the room. She tries to get outside and she falls to her death, landing on a picnic table.
Okay. So when I first watched this scene, I was sitting right next to my best friend and we both were like, that is the worst mannequin I've ever seen in a horror movie. In reality, those are her bunny slippers and her head is at the other end of the table. But the first time I watched this movie, we paused it and I looked at it and still thought it was bunny slippers. It was not until I rewatched it today that I realized those were the bunny slippers and it wasn't just a terrible mannequin.
So Gemma ends up at Haley's apartment. I think she goes to Radina and Caroline's first. Like you see the shots of their apartment and hear a knock at the door. But when she doesn't get an answer, she goes to Haley's apartment. She sees what's happened to Emma on the screen before a mug or something flies off the counter and bonks her in the head, knocks her down.
Fuck you, Gemma. I loved that
part. Gave it a standing ovation.
Yeah. Claps for you.
So cabinets and drawers fly open. A chair wobbles. Gemma gets up to go into the hallway. And there's a little tiny, I wouldn't quite call it a jump scare, but it's kind of a gasp-worthy moment where you see the chair from the desk move out because Haley's hiding under it. They do a little elbow bump, which is
not to COVID.
So very,
very COVID. Yeah.
Before the chair in the kitchen moves again.
And it's looking at them. It is facing them.
Haley takes her camera and she starts. She's not taking pictures, but she's like pressing the button. So the flash is going off in the hallway towards the now darkened kitchen. Just get out. Like, why?
Yeah.
She keeps getting closer to the kitchen, closer, closer. And finally, we get the jump scare to end all jump scares as the demon is all, when she takes the last picture. The movie ends with "This free meeting has ended. Thank you for choosing Zoom." And I loved that, like about 10 minutes before the movie ended, it came up with a warning thing saying, "You have 10 minutes."
Left. They made it so realistic. Like that again made it the perfect like 60-minute time frame because we've all been stuck in meetings that were like, "This will only take 20 minutes," and you're there for an hour and a half.
And the credits, as you mentioned earlier, Nick, it's the participants list, and it's like so clever. I love that they did it that way. And that's the movie.
Watch it on a laptop or your phone if you can, because that just changes the whole damn experience.
The first time I watched it with my laptop headphones on in the dark. And it was like,
man, you have lost your mind. I had to watch this in the daylight with another person.
The first time I had watched it, like not on our TV, because we definitely put it on the TV. And you're right. I think it would have been much more effective.
Mm-hmm.
We should have watched it this way for damn sure.
We should have.
No.
Next, like, you bitches do what you want. I choose life.
I like feeling safe in my home.
So what stood out for you in the movie?
It was just full of really good scares. And you didn't really have to wait a long time to get them. There wasn't a big buildup at the beginning and then just like 20 minutes of scare and then the movie's over. It's like,
yeah, they get to business pretty quickly.
Yeah. They just get to scaring you and it's all like good, authentic scares. Like I said earlier, I was barely able to catch my breath of the whole thing once the actual scare started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I read it in some interview, that same article I sent you guys, that was, he didn't want to make a pandemic movie. And I think they succeeded in doing that, even though like, we all know that the reason they're there is because of COVID. The reason they're in lockdown is because of COVID, but it wasn't like COVID specific in a way that was meaningful to the story, which I appreciated. Cause like,
yes, this is our reality, but also like, I don't need to watch a movie about a pandemic.
Our reality. Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Yeah. We're living yeah, it.
I got under control. I love that. I love like just the ingenuity of it. It's clever. It's something that's very like realistic in terms of like how we're living right now, where like everything is on mm-hmm. Zoom. And, you know, especially at the beginning of the pandemic, I had like weekly, couple of times a week, I had like drinks with friends over Zoom and game nights over Zoom and things like that. And just like the idea that you fucking do with what you have, pretty like more or less, like, and make a great scary little movie out of it is just fucking awesome. I love that shit.
They really did a great job.
Yeah.
I like that there are multiple layers. Like, I feel like the first time I watched it, I saw it one way. And then as I watched it a couple of more times, my opinion on it has changed. So one of the things that I have started to think about is the idea of like groupthink. And have you heard of the, I don't know whether it's a ghost or a spirit or have you heard of a tulpa?
Mm-mm.
So a tulpa is basically like, if a group of people all think the same thing, it can bring it into being. So like if they're all thinking that this is a demon, does that then bring the demon into existence and cause, so like Jack, who is the fictional character that Gemma makes up, dies from this neck injury. And then all of these things start happening with the neck injuries and the imagery, like with the noose and stuff like that. So it's just something that I was like, it's really, really clever in a way that I don't necessarily know that you get from an initial watch. I mean, I'm sure some people do, because some people watch movies much more closely than I do. I'm sure the first time some people are like eagle eyes and I'm not, but I just think it you would think that a movie like this, the second time you watch it, would maybe be less effective, but it's not. Yeah. Like it's still very, very effective, and you see things that maybe you didn't see before. Well, as we know. Yeah.
I watched it again today, and like today I was watching it with my AirPods in on my phone. And even though I was doing other things while watching and like listening to the movie, it was still scary as shit in the daylight. It just got me so good. And usually that's how it goes when you watch a scary movie. Like you watch it one time, and then every time you watch it after that, it gets less scary.
Mm-hmm.
This one mm-hmm. didn't. I really mm-hmm. wanted it to.
Yeah, I watched it on my phone at lunch today. That was like when I was taking some notes on it in my lunchroom at work, which is very bright and I'm surrounded by people, and I'm still like, oh my God.
Yep.
How many scaredy cat screams would you give it?
5.
Wow.
Well, I probably screamed more than 5 times during the movie, so I think it deserves it.
That should be the new criteria. How many times did you scream or jump?
Yeah, and give it I would give it like a solid 4. It's just well put together. Like again, like that, going back to that, like because they didn't have to make it 90 minutes or up, because, you know, what is it? What's the saying? Necessity is the mother of invention. Is that what it is?
That's it. Yep.
Yeah. And like, I very much felt that of like, they just like, were like gonna like, obviously it was a very well done, even well produced in the way they did it, but like, it was very much like, do with what you have, make something scary out of your fucking apartment mm-hmm. that you're staying in, you know? Yeah. So I would say like definitely a solid 4. It was just good storytelling, good, like the performances were great, the stunts were good, it was just solid. It was really solid. Yeah.
I don't think I'd be able to live in that apartment after filming something like this. I think it would be ruined for me
the second you hear something in the attic.
It would never be the same,
right? I think in that interview, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that article that I sent you guys, they would always at the end of a filming day visualize cutting the cord, doing that whole thing. Mm-hmm. But then like the last day, like he didn't do that with them.
Oh yes. Yeah. And he was like, so the seance technically is still open.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So, like, kind of like leave them like freaked out, like right before the last day of filming. I know. And so technically it's all open, Nick. You're in it
stop,
now.
Stop, stop,
you're in
stop.
It now, Nick. Nick, what's that behind you?
Stop. I have a cross on and everything. You will not defeat me. I am a lesbian with the Lord on my side.
Oh my God. I'm introducing you like every time you're on the podcast now, I'm going to be like, and we also have the lesbian with the Lord on her side, Nick, joining us today. Yep.
Perfect. Great.
I love it. I love it. So body count, it was pretty high.
Yeah.
100%.
We don't know if Saylan is alive.
We don't know about Saylan. Yeah, that's true. We don't know.
Yeah.
It was implied.
I guess we don't see Gemma or Haley die, but I'm sure they do.
Pretty sure.
And hopefully the father lives.
Oh, that sucks because he's going to come home and find.
Okay, then we want
to. No.
Sherry. Well, what's worse?
Or you like go there first.
I was thinking maybe he just has dementia. We hope that he has dementia and like just gets lost down the street. That's why she has to go running and screaming after him, you know? Because that part didn't really make sense. Like, why do you have to run down the street after your father? Like, call him on the phone.
Because she doesn't want him outside because of a COVID. She wants him to be safe inside. And well, like,
yeah, but I feel like maybe he was a little bit senile. I'm crossing maybe. My fingers that he didn't find her, and that if he did, he's senile. That's my hope. That's where I was going with that.
Okay. Anything else you want to share about the movie?
Don't fuck with spirits.
I recommend it.
Highly recommend, I recommend it.
And I just love it from that whole, like, just do it, do something, just make something with what you have.
That's one of my favorite parts about it. Yeah. Like it just that they, you know, took 12 weeks to make this movie that hit, like I said, so many best of lists mm-hmm. from 2020, and not just like horror lists. It's very impressive. And the fact that he used his friends to make this movie is just brilliant.
I definitely do want to watch that other one. Nick, you, I think you brought it up.
Unfriended. Yeah.
Unfriended. Very, I haven't seen that similar. One either.
This one was scarier though, for sure. That one you can definitely tell, like it wasn't like this was done like a Zoom meeting. That one is supposed to be done like a Skype call, and they make it similar, but it's not exact. Like this one really went hardcore making it look exactly like a Zoom call, so you really feel like you're in that shit. The other one,
right,
it doesn't have the same effect. It's not as scary, but kind of the same concept.
All right, so thank you for coming on today, and thank you for putting yourself through that
and all those instant replays. Sorry, yeah. Meg.
So tell us a little bit about where we can find you.
Well, I'm on Instagram at Ari in the City, and it's mostly cats. It's a lot of cats. It's just cats and food was what I usually say. And occasionally, I'll put like what we're watching on the weekend, but not that often even. I just text you guys when I want to do something. But yeah, thanks for having me.
Thank you. Nick, what about you?
You can find me on Twitter at headassnick, spelled N-I-K. Yeah, it's mostly gay shit, but if you're here for the gay shit, that's where to go.
I mean, you are the lesbian with the Lord on her side.
Yeah. You will not find any Lord-related stuff on my Twitter, though, I promise you.
Thank you for joining us today. You can catch us on Twitter at CatScaredy and on Instagram at ScaredyCatsPodcast. Subscribe wherever you find podcasts. And don't forget to let us know what you think by leaving us a review. Until next time, stay scared and don't go to seances.